Day 13, there are dangerous consequences if you live for pleasure. Proverbs 21:17, he who loves pleasure will become poor. In this world, there's a lot of ways you can spend money and a lot of things that may bring pleasure, but it literally will very quickly decrease your bank account. I was talking to one guy one time. He liked going to the Milwaukee Bucks to their games. He had season tickets, and he told me that on average each year he spent $36,000 a year going to Bucks games, buying the tickets, paying for the parking, going out to dinner beforehand, going out for some beer afterwards, because in Milwaukee, you know, that's what people do there. Where two or three are gathered, there's the alcohol in the midst of them. Or that's how it works there. And so literally, if you live your life for pleasure, poverty is associated with it. And so the Bible really does teach, be very careful. Put some brakes on when it comes to this whole idea of living for pleasure. I heard of a funny story about a pastor was talking to a crusty old woman one time, and she was hard drinking, hard smoking, hard living woman. And he told her about this little experiment that was done. And he said, you know what? They did an experiment and they put a worm in alcohol and the worm died. And then they put a worm in cigarette ashes and the worm died. And then they put a worm in soil and the worm lived. What do you think you need to learn from that? And she says, well, if I smoke and drink, I won't have worms. So that was the wrong thing she learned. So he who loves pleasure will become poor. Ecclesiastes 2:10. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. Man, today's world, there is so much our eyes can desire. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Yet when I surveyed all the work that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. And the Bible is very clear that, you know, if we think that the way to be satisfied is to take care of our want list, that isn't true. And the reality is here is most of us today here right now, you have a want list. Okay? Now, I don't know how long yours is. I don't know if there's three things on there or one thing or 10 things or 20 things or 30 things. But there's things you've been thinking about that you think, well, I want that. The interesting thing about a want list, and they're very seldom ever written down. They're just something we kind of carry around inside of ourselves. With our want list, we think, well, if I go get that thing I'm wanting, I will then be satisfied. But you know what happens? When that item disappears, something else comes up on it. There's a new thing that suddenly shows up on that, on the perspective. I remember as a young man, I remember thinking, well, I just want more money. And when I first got out of college, I made $12,000, and I thought, oh my goodness, I thought I died and went to heaven. I didn't know what I was going to do with all that money. Well, then I found out very quickly what you do with that money. It disappears quickly. And I thought, well, gee, I made $12,000, but if I only made $20,000, then I would be okay. Then I would have enough. Well, I made $20,000. Well, that was okay for a while, but you know what? Then I thought, well, no, I really need more. If I made $40,000, that's really what I would want to do. And so I made $40,000, and eventually I made, you know, six-figure income, and it's gone back and forth over the years. But here's what I discovered. It's not the amount of money. Contentment is an issue of the heart. It is an issue of the heart. So often we get caught up in what others have. We buy things to impress people that we don't even know sometimes. I heard of one guy who went into a TV store. This is a true story. And he had a friend that had just built a new house. And in his friend's house, they put $170,000 in the media room. Okay? In the media room. So he went to the TV store and said, okay, I want to buy every, he said he was building a new house. And so he said, I want to buy everything for a media room. I want the nicest, the best, the greatest stuff. And when they added it all up, they came to $140,000. And he says, that's not enough. I need to spend more than my friend. Because his friend is bragging how he spent $170,000, and literally this man was trying to beat his friend. Someone said the difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. And there's some truth about that. And by the way, men, sometimes we complain about women and how they'll spend money. A lot of women will spend little bits of money in lots of places. And a man will say, I never spend any money. But when the man does spend money, it's into the thousands very, very quickly. Men are hunters, women are grazers. I don't know if you ever heard that. Women will go shopping because they might find something. They don't know what it is they're going to go looking for, but they may find something as they go grazing through a mall. But a man is a hunter. He decides he wants something. He comes out of his cave. He marches into the mall. He gets it. He kills it. And he drags it home. And then he's happy. He goes back into the cave. So there's just a difference in how men and women sometimes shop. I had a friend of mine. They were on vacation with four couples. And one of the guys said he's going to go over to the mall. And so everyone goes, oh, we want to go along. And the four ladies, we want to go along. He said, why? And they go, they said, well, we just want to go to the mall. So he said, well, I'm going to go to the mall. I'm driving, and I'm going to go get what I want. So he gets in the car. They all get in the car. He goes over there, gets what he wants, and says, I'm ready to go. And he didn't understand that women wanted to graze. And he was the hunter. He went and got what he wanted, and he wanted to go home. But there is a difference between the two. Learn to understand the difference, and you'll have a happier marriage. 2 Timothy 3. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. We live in a time when the whole area of pleasure and the love for money and the pursuit of money is just at unprecedented rates. Just the whole realm of legalized gambling. In America today, think about this. In America today, they do studies on this. It's in the National Abstract. If you just take legalized gambling, lotteries, casinos, racehorses, those kinds of things, the average American, for every man, boy, woman, or girl, spends $2,400 a year on legalized gambling. In the grocery stores of America, the average American spends $1,200 a year. So in America today, statistically, people spend twice as much on legalized gambling as they do on groceries. And you might say, well, I don't spend nearly that much. Well, let's just say you do zero. Let's say you're a family of four and you do zero. Do you know what? That means across the street, that family of four is spending not $10,000, they're spending their $10,000 plus your $20,000. We're like drunken sailors in America today. People literally are thinking the answer to their life is found in a little scratch-off ticket. If they think their future is in a scratch-off ticket, they're looking in the wrong place. I always like to say that lotteries are a tax on people that are bad at math. Okay? Lotteries are a tax on people that are bad at math. I don't doubt the reality of this whole idea of how much people spend. One day I was in northern Wisconsin, and I was standing in the checkout line at a gas station. And there were five people ahead of me, and four people ahead of me all bought lottery tickets. $10, $20, $40, and $60. Just ahead of me. So literally all these people buying it. One particular woman, I'll never forget, she bought $60 in lottery tickets. And she gets outside and she scratches them all off and she's going, I won, I won, I won. Do you know what she won? She won $16. Now, I don't know about you, but if I just gave someone $60 and I just got $16 back, I don't think I won. But she went away bragging and boasting how she won, she won, she won at the gas station and lottery, and she spent $60 to get $16. If you think that's a deal, please, please, please see me after this session. And I'll play that game with you as long as you want. You know, I'll give you $16 every time you give me $60. So there are dangerous consequences if you live for pleasure.